Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. Well, we have a fun one to talk about. Are the Caps, like, legit again? Are the Caps have the potential to get into the playoffs? This seemed like a team that was lost, didn't know where they were going, had zero direction, and now we're talking about a team that is undefeated in the last week. Since Coach Stan and I talked last, they are 2-0, undefeated in a week. I mean, yes, it's
Stanley
only two
Cup,
games.
Here we come.
That's right. We're coming, baby. But, 2-0. I mean, I know it's 2-0. It's only two games. But still, 2-0 against two very good teams in this league. So joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Stan, what is going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm like Alex Ovechkin's getting 8 goals in his last 8 games good, I guess, is one way to put it.
8 goals in 8 games. That was That's what he did in the first half of the season, was 8 goals, and then he got 8 in the last 8 games?
It was like 8 in 40-something, and then he's got 8 in the last 8 games. Now, to be fair, it's only 7 of those games he actually scored a goal. He got 2 in the game against New Jersey, but 8 and 8 is, you know, a very good sign. He's at 16 total. He's third on the team, which right that there, not Ovechkin being third on the team, but that 16 goals is third on the team. I feel like if you're a team that's really pushing for the playoffs and has a chance to win the cup, you got more than your third guy is not sitting at 16 goals on the season. Like, your third highest goal scorer is probably, hopefully, at least in his 20s. I could be wrong about that, but he's behind Strom and Mantha, but he's still leading the team in points. He's got points in 9 straight games. So it seems like he's woken up a bit. I think it was the little all-star break.
The week in Dubai.
I think he's given him an opportunity. The week in Dubai, a nice little vacation, gave him a chance to relax. Although, as any as any parent knows, going on vacation with your kids is not actually a vacation. But no, I mean, he's playing better. I think overall the team is playing better. They did get a win over Montreal, which is, you know, they're a team that's also not struggling this season. But New Jersey is supposed to be a really good team. They're on the outside of the playoffs looking in. But if they had better goaltending and a defense that wasn't quite as inept, last night, then I think they'd be in a better spot than they are right now, that being in the standings.
This win against New Jersey, though, I feel is a huge momentum shift.
That was a big win for the Caps. I mean, it's a 4-point game because they're chasing New Jersey for a playoff spot. And the ability to go and beat them pretty soundly, one, as fans, it makes you go, where was that since October? Like, not every game you guys want to pull that off, but like, what's happening? Like, why can't you go out and pull that off all the time? And then it shows you what this team is capable of. Now, like, I'm not expecting Connor McMichael to be scoring highlight reel goals every game or even every week. But we got a lot of signs of what this team could be. And looking into the rest of this season and next season, obviously, depending on the trade deadline and what moves they make in the summer, you know, there's reason for optimism when it comes to this team's future, at least immediate future.
And this was a big game against the New Jersey Devils as well, because it is one of those elusive 4-point games, if you want to call it that, because it's 2 points for the Capitals, 2 points that the Devils will not be getting. Like, it didn't even go to OT, so that the Devils will be out those 2 points in the division, and they don't have many in the division games left in the season. If you look at March and April, there's only a handful. So these games against anybody in the Metro mean a little bit more, even though there isn't a rivalry between the Capitals and the Devils. But these in-division games against a team like the Devils, they do mean a little bit more right now in February, March, because, like we said last week, there were 30 games left in the season. They're going to have to win 20 of them. And if they're going to win games like that against a divisional opponent that potentially could help keep you out of the playoffs, this is an even bigger game than just 2 points.
I think any team that you're chasing, because right now, looking at the standings, let's do wild card. So they are presently, I have to do math here, everybody. They are 7 points out. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. 7 points out of one of the top three spots in the Metro. But in terms of the playoffs, they are 6 points out. So they're 6 points behind Detroit, having played one less game than the Red Wings. They're now only 2 points behind the Devils. So that was a big 4-point game. But games against, you know, the Islanders, who they are 2 points behind. Games against Detroit or Tampa Bay, who they're about to face. Like, these are really big games, because not only does a loss mean you're not gaining points on them, but that you're also giving the team that you're chasing points. So these are 4-point games. It's not, at this point, it's not just divisional. It's anyone that's ahead of you in either the Metro or the Atlantic, you need to win all those games, or at least keep them from getting both points. Like, if you get, I mean, getting to overtime and getting a win is not great, but you need to prevent them from getting points as best you can. And that means the game against Tampa, like Florida, yeah, you need all the points you can get, but the Panthers are a machine right now. That's going to be a tough game. But the game in Tampa, that's an important game. Like, they were talking about Caps this morning, how Tampa is maybe a couple of years behind the Caps in terms of just the aging veterans and how, you know, they might be needing to turn over to a new group. Like, the Caps are kind of at, the Lightning are certainly ripe for the picking a little bit right now in terms of being able to get some points from them. So, you know, they're only 7 points up on the Caps. You need to take away points from them, points from the Red Wings, the Devils, and the Islanders. That's teams. And you need to hope Pittsburgh, because I don't know if they see the Pens again.
They see the Pens twice.
So you need to win both those games, because they're right behind you.
Yeah, March 7th and April 4th is when you see the Penguins.
Penguins have played one less game than the Caps, and they're only 2 points behind them. So the Caps, like, look at those games both as must wins.
Yeah, we're not going to see the Rangers. We're not going to see the Islanders anymore. Those games are done. The Devils, that was our last game against the Devils this year. Got a couple games against the Flyers coming up in March. We see the Hurricanes, I believe, twice.
Caps need to get as many points as they can. Like, their future is not necessarily in their hands, but they can certainly make things very interesting and put themselves in a good spot by winning those divisional games or winning those 4-point games against teams that are ahead of you, immediately ahead of you in the standings. I mean, that to say they have to win them all that remain, it's unlikely, unheard of almost. But you need to win a whole lot of them. And any of the ones that are against teams immediately in front of you, those you have to, you can't go into overtime. You have to win those games.
But this is also, if you want to think about it, like, yes, these win as many games as you can. Like, we always want 2 points. You know, that's always good. But at the same time, do you remember back in like 2017, the year before they won the cup? And it was that this team had a playoff spot like January 1, like something crazy. It was they ran away with the league in the regular season, and they played meaningless hockey from February, March, April, and it meant absolutely nothing. And then they got to the playoffs and they almost got beaten round one. I remember that happening where, like, this team was supposed to win the cup. It was that 2-year window. It was the second year of that 2-year window. They were supposed to win the cup that year. And then I don't know. I can't remember if they didn't get out of the first round or didn't get out of the second round. Barely, like, I think it was maybe the year they went against Toronto in the first and barely beat them. And then they lost in the second round, if my memory is correct. But that those months of meaningless hockey showed rust and showed that, you know, their heads weren't in the game. If they're already playing playoff hockey at the end of February and they play their butts off in March and they actually do get a wild card spot, this team, you know, could be dangerous come playoff time because they had been playing playoff hockey for almost a month and a half.
I think you're correct. I mean, I think once the playoffs start, anything can happen. We've seen 8 seeds that have clawed their way into the playoffs go on and win the whole thing. Like, crazier things have happened. You know, the LA Kings won a couple of cups based on just making it to the playoffs and just playing their best hockey at the right time of year. When you look at this Caps team's roster, you're going, I don't know about that. But we kind of said the same thing at the beginning of 2018. Remember, we were talking about Trotz getting fired around Thanksgiving, and then they went on to win the cup. So I think everything we've seen, all the things kind of working against them, just in terms of players' ages and injuries and the reality of how their season has gone, it's highly unlikely. But that doesn't mean it couldn't happen. Until they are mathematically eliminated, you know, it's certainly possible. There's nothing that makes you look back historically and go, nah. Like, it's not going to happen. It's never happened before. Because it has happened before. But they didn't do themselves any benefit by playing like crap throughout a large portion of the season up until recent. Up essentially until the All-Star break. Like, they did themselves no favors. So this situation that they're in is of their own doing. And their ability to get out of it and play their way into the playoffs, you know, it'd be a great thing. I think the trade deadline is going to be huge in terms of what they decide to do. I still think the best thing for them is to both buy and sell. Do you trade for, you know, basically like they did with Sandin, you know, say you trade, I don't know, Dowd for a second round pick or a first round pick, and then you flip that second or first round pick and a player for, you know, a winger or a center that's, you know, mid 20s that can score goals or set up goals or whatever. You know, that we know they want a goal scoring winger. So that you've also, you know, you're selling and you're buying. I think this team could certainly do both of those things and reposition themselves to potentially be a really good team. The problem is we looked at trades like, you know what, Anthony Mantha isn't really working out. We're going to move him on. But now you trade him, you just lost your second highest goal scorer. So you're like, someone needs to be replaced there. That's going to put the puck in the net. You know, if you move on from a guy like Max Pacioretty, who hasn't played a ton with this team, but he's certainly contributing while he's been here, while he's been playing. So if you move on from him, who's filling in what he's been doing? Who's filling in for Nick Dowd on the fourth? I mean, we know who's going to be at least for the next couple of games, but who's filling in for Nick Dowd on the fourth line as the shutdown line? Because let's say this team gets in the playoffs and it's, you know, game six, it's tied up, it's late in the third, and you have a defensive zone faceoff. If you're the Caps right now, you're throwing out there Nick Dowd. Who are you throwing out there if he's playing for, I don't know, Colorado or somebody? So this team certainly has some moves to make. If they think they could be a playoff team and you still trade Dowd, it's questionable in terms of the what you're going to be able to do in those tight games. They're playing playoff hockey now if they want to make the playoffs. Like, they have to be going out there trying to win every single game. There's no nights off that they can take. Unless other teams also suck, then you kind of have some flexibility.
Well, we did see some really good hockey this past week. Connor McMichael had his first multi-goal game. He has looked really good. I mean, some highlight reel goals this past week. We also saw TJ Oshie score his 300th career goal against Montreal. Congratulations to him. But with the good comes the bad, and we did have some injuries that happened this past week as well. Martin Fehervaari is week to week with a lower body injury, and like you just brought up, Nick Dowd, he left the game against the Devils in the first period, did not return. He is not traveling to Florida with this team for the upcoming games. And the Caps recalled Dubé from Hershey. So could you tell me a little bit about this new guy coming up from the Hershey Bears and the kind of impact he could have on this Capitals team?
I mean, the best thing for this team would be if he can come up and score goals at the NHL level. He's 23 years old. He's a winger. He's born in France, which is kind of cool. They got a French guy on the team now. I didn't see in terms of when he moved over. It looks like he's got French and Canadian background. So I don't know when he moved over to this side of the Atlantic, but he's only 5'9", so he's not exactly the biggest guy out there. And I don't know if that's 5'9" with skates on, but I believe he's leading the Bears in goals. He's second in the entirety that is the AHL with 24 goals throughout 50 games. He's going to play on the wing. They're moving Protas over to center. So that could be interesting in terms of, you know, if Alexei Protas, who's played center before, if it turns out, you know, hey, this could actually work out, then maybe he fills in on the third or fourth line as their center going forward. And, you know, as you put Protas on the third line and Scarbosa on the fourth line, maybe Dubé is the guy that's like, hey, we had this guy all along. He was just hanging out up in Hershey. We needed a goal scoring winger. Here he is. You know, if that works out, that's great, because that saves them trouble being like, well, we don't have to part with someone to bring in a guy who can put the puck in the net. And then you can kind of look at other areas that you want to fix or other things you want to be able to take on. Or maybe you can go out and risk a little bit more to bring in a top line player. So I'm excited to see what he could bring to the table. I'm curious to see what's going to, if I'm Hershey, I'm a little bit like, hey, that's our guy. We kind of need him. Give him back. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of what he does with his team and I'm curious how many minutes he's going to get, but I want to see him getting some opportunities. I'd love to see him get a little bit of power play time just to kind of see how he can move the puck around and what he could do. He's clearly shown that he can score goals in the AHL. And, you know, I'd love to see how he can do in the NHL, because this will be whenever you can find a guy that's already in the organization, it just saves you so much trouble of having to go find, you know, what are you giving up to bring someone in from the outside? If you can have one of your own dudes and he's got a fun name, let's do it.
I mean, Scarbosa, he's come up when Yevgeny Kuznetsov took some time away. He's looked really good. But with this, with Nick Dowd out and with them bringing up Dubé, what does that mean for Tom Wilson? Because Tom Wilson, it's not a demotion, but Tom Wilson is a top six guy who has been playing on the fourth line. And while I think Tom Wilson has looked good there, I can't imagine that's where he even wants to be, is on the fourth line, kind of being kind of like a grinder and stuff like that. I'm sure he wants to be on the top line with Alex Ovechkin. So what do you think that means for Tom Wilson's game, the fact that he's on the fourth line and he just lost his center and Nick Dowd?
I think it's kind of like, this is a weird story, but like when I was in high school, I played soccer and we played against another school that one of their kids was like, I guess he was part of like the U.S. development program or something outside of his school playing. And my coach came up to me and was like, hey, you're going to mark this kid the whole game. Like, wherever he goes, you're going. And I was like, you want to take me out of my spot where I'm you know, I don't remember if I was playing defense or midfield at the time, but it was like, you want me to just follow this dude around. But it, in a way, it was actually a compliment, because it was like, look, you're good enough that we think you can stop this really good player from the other team. And so, in a way, sort of somewhat similar, Tom Wilson's like being asked, hey, look, you're a really good player for us. And in the NHL, we need you to step in and shut down some of these top line guys. Like, the fourth line goes up against the other team's top line a lot of the time. Dowd's being out asked to go out there and win defensive zone faceoffs against number one lines. And they're like, hey, Tom, you're really good defensively. We need you in this spot. I mean, I'm looking it up now, but I don't believe it's affecting his minutes per se in terms of he's still getting, you know, power play time. He's still getting out there. Against the Devils, he had 18 minutes. So why can't you sort it? He had the most time on ice actually by forwards. So it's not like it's hurting his minutes in terms of where he's playing and where he's at. So, you know, losing Dowd certainly doesn't help. We don't know, unless I missed something. I don't think we know what the lines were, unless I missed the lines at practice today. But I would expect... I would think Scarbosa probably bumps down to the fourth line, and you see, like, Malinson, Carbosa. Ay, ay, ay. You see Malinson, Scarbosa, and Wilson, and then a third line of... Who would be on the left? Like a Pacioretty... Who was on the third line in the last game? Why can't I remember this off the top of my head?
It was Milano, Scarbosa, Pacioretty.
Maybe you leave that alone, and you put Malinson, Protas, and Wilson, and then you just slide in Dubé on the left with McMichael and Mantha. I mean, maybe
how,
not.
How tall is Protas? Do we know? He's a tall guy,
he's
right?
He's 7'4", I believe.
Oh, so that dude's 6'6". Could you imagine Protas, Tom Wilson, and then 5'9 Dubé on one line? Like, that is...
You know what it would be like? It's like Mighty Ducks. Was it Mighty
the
Ducks
Bash
two,
Brothers,
they had the Bash
right?
Brothers, and the little dude, like the figure skater, and he was like Bash Brother number three. Like, that's what that would be. So that
I kind of want to see that now.
No, I don't. No, Mike, if I'm, because part of the issue is I don't, like, if I'm coaching, I'm looking at going, I don't want to mess with the lines too much because things are working and I don't want to, like, be mixing people around too much because I can mess with what's gelled. You're going to have to because you're putting Protas in the center spot. So you just drop Protas to the fourth line, taking those defensive zone faceoffs. The only thing I think is maybe you move Protas to the third line, you bump Scarbosa back. And you put Dubé on the second line. So you have Ovechkin, Strome, Oshie as your first line. Dubé, McMichael, Mantha. Milano, Protas, Pacioretty, which I like that too. Can we put Milano, McMichael, and Mantha on the same line? It's just the three M's. Like, that's just easier for me. Anyways, so you have Milano, Protas, and Pacioretty. And then you would have Malinson, Scarbosa, and Wilson. I could see that as well. And it's like, it's not messing with it too much. The other option is just Protas goes to the fourth line. And Dubé goes to the second line, and your first line, your third line stay the same. So I could see either one of those scenarios happening in their next game. But I, you know, we'll see what happens. I say that a lot, I've realized, on this podcast. We'll see what happens.
We're not professionals here. We're podcasters.
No, not at all. I mean, losing Dowd when you're trying to make this push, and you got a lot of really tough games against good teams that you need to jump over. Like, Tampa, I know I'm cutting into your thing at the end of the show, but Tampa, Florida, Ottawa, and then Detroit. Three of those four teams, I believe, unless I miss where Ottawa is in the standings, never mind, they suck. But three of those teams, you're chasing in the race to get to the playoffs. So, like, this is not a time to lose your defensive zone faceoff guy to an injury. And you're probably best skating defenseman. So if you're the captain, you're like, oh, come on, this is not getting easier. And, like, injuries, yes, have played a part for the team this season and kind of where they're at, but not enough that they'd be that much higher up in terms of where they're at now. But I think losing Dowd is not great. I think Wilson's going to be fine because you can kind of you can plug him in almost anywhere, I feel like, and he'll be all right. And then I'm real curious to see what Dubé can do. I'm excited about this one. I've been waiting for him and Ethan Frank.
I'm excited to see what he can do as well, but let's stick with Nick Dowd a little bit. He's the guy, like you said, he's been the guy that everyone's talking about being traded or trade bait, or he was hurt early in the year. He missed a lot of time at the beginning of the year. He's hurt again here. does this make his trade value go down, and will he even be eligible to be traded if he's, you know, on LTIR or something like that?
This Friday will be 2 weeks away from the deadline. Dowd is day to day. So it sounds like he's not going to play. He's probably going to go on IR because the Caps are over 23 skaters at the moment. I think they're over 23. So it sounds like he's not going to play against Tampa, Florida. My guess, he doesn't play in the next four games. He's probably back against the Flyers on the 1st of March, if not Arizona. So
Arizona would be a good game to come back on.
If he's not back by then the Caps have a problem in terms of if they want to move on from him. Not doing so isn't necessarily the worst thing. It's not like, unless I'm wrong, he's not scheduled to be, yeah, he's still got another year in his contract. So it's not like they're going to lose him for nothing in the summer. So, you know, if you don't trade him, it's not the end of the world, unless you would have gotten like a first round pick and a good player for him, which I don't think they would have gotten both necessarily. But I still think he's a good option for other teams. I think some teams might be a little wary right now, but I think if it's an injury that, like, he took, you know, kind of a, I think injuries that are more muscular, I think teams will be more hesitant to maybe trade for, as opposed to a trade that, I mean, an injury that, like, dude took the puck off his arm and, like, it's bruised or something. Like, that to me is a bit different. It's like a freak injury versus something you're like, this guy clearly has like back problems or something. So we'll, you know, I don't know if that's really going to impact him just yet, but it also depends on like when he comes back. Favar is the one I'm a little more concerned about in terms of injury, because he's out, looks like week to week. And Carberry said it's only, you know, 1 or 2 weeks at most. We'll see if that's the case, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's not back until after the trade deadline.
And no call-ups on defensemen with Fehervaari out of there. So, well, they looks had like,
eight on the roster.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be happy with giving Ethan Bear a little bit more time. And, you know, remember this guy, Alex Alexiev? Remember him? Like, I think he's still employed by the Capitals.
He's up. So that's a guy I wouldn't be shocked if they were like, if they found a winger that they really wanted. If they're like, hey, here's a first-round pick in Alexiev, or a second-round pick in Alexiev, or something like that. To bring, not their own first round pick, but like acquired another one, right, that they would move him and Alexiev to, like, I'm not saying I like this idea. I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen if they could get like a 25, 26 year old goal scoring winger. Like, that wouldn't shock me. I'm like, well, it didn't work out here, but he's getting another opportunity somewhere else. But they got insert player name here to come in and play on the second line as a goal scoring winger.
Well, anything else we should talk about here in Caps world?
I mean, have you been seeing this stuff? What's going on with the Potomac Yard plan?
I have seen nonstop ads during Capitals games for why Potomac Yard is the place to be, with the Glionsis family selling it.
They are hardcore trying to, like, gaslight everybody into why this is a good idea.
Yes. Yes, they are.
It's just, it's not, everything is right now going the wrong direction for Ted Leonsis. Like, this just sucks. So let's see, what do we got? And full disclosure, I don't know if I'm going to use a lot of these terminology. A lot of the terminology I'm going to say, I don't know if I'm using it correctly. I don't really understand all the political aspects of what's going on. I'm just reporting what I've been reading. So first, we have the Virginia Senate Finance and Appropriations Chairwoman, L. Louise Lucas, who has come out and been like, deal's dead, as far as I can see, in terms of like money being given. And that might be almost verbatim what she said, in terms of like money being given from the state towards Monumental for like construction costs. So I saw a thing with like Zach Leonsis, who had this video, and he's like, we're planning on spending this much, and the state of Virginia is going to spend this much, but really the state of Virginia is letting us borrow this money for construction costs. We're going to pay it back over time. And it's like, yeah, but you're still using that money, which should be going towards like roads and education and paying people better wages and things like that. So the chairwoman Lucas is like, nah. So I guess the bill to like give them more money. She just took it completely off one of the, that part of it. She just took it out from what they were talking about and took it off as like a standalone bill, took that out of the budget plan. And then looks like there may not be money set aside for both Metro improvements, which would be drastically needed to make this work. And then for the Monumental Campus or whatever they're going to call it. And then the labor unions, which of course, you know, in politics is a big deal. The labor unions came out and were like, yeah, we don't love this idea either. Which both apparently Monumental and Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin were like, we've been talking to you. And they're like, not really. We're like, you've been a part of it. We're like, I mean, you guys have like, I wouldn't say we're a part of it. Like, kind of, we've had some conversations, but nothing really. Like, you were about ready to sign off. We're like, no, we weren't. So I don't know who's lying. I don't care. Part of me is that wouldn't be shocked if it was, you know, they tried to rush it through Monumental and Glenn Youngkin were trying to like rush this thing through and like, this is going to be great for Virginia and try and be like, let's get behind it. And then everyone looked at the fine print. We're like, no, not buying it. You guys are full of it. Like, this is not what we signed on for. So basically local Democrats have said they're not going to vote on any deals to give money towards this project if the labor unions aren't on board. And the labor unions, the thing is, my understanding is the labor unions are actually more concerned about a hotel that's going to be built next to the stadium than the stadium itself, because they don't know if the hotel's going to be privately owned, which won't allow employees to be unionized. And it's like a whole thing. So this project right now is in a bit of trouble. And the awkward part is if it ends up falling apart, like it did on the Commanders prior Redskins years ago, where's Leonsis going to go? Like, does he just stick with Verizon or Capital One, MCI, whatever we're going to call this building in the next couple of years? Although Capital One's apparently buying Discover, so who knows? What, you know, maybe they got money to spend. But are they just going to stay there for a bit longer and try something else in Virginia? Is he going to be like, you know what, let's try this again in D.C. We'll find something else. Are they going to try and go to Maryland? Trying to build anything in Montgomery County is impossible. Not to mention, we don't need more traffic in this county. I also don't know where you would do it. It would be pretty... You couldn't do it near the city. Like, they're like, oh, we're only 4.5 miles, this Monumental Campus plan. It's only 4.5 miles from Verizon. Dang, I did it again. Capital One Arena. You're not getting 4.5 miles in Montgomery County away from D.C. We got too much other crap in this county right now. But my guess, what I wanted to have happen is to have Leonsis buy the Nats, and then they would have some sort of like campus thing down there by Nats Park. And like, that made sense to me. He would have the baseball team. He would have his hockey and basketball. He would have his, you know, venue for outdoor music or whatever, and all the other buildings. And like, it could have worked, I think. I don't know if he would have had same level of space, but like, that could have worked. But then he didn't want to buy the team because of the whole Masson thing. And then now the learners are like, you know what? The team's not for sale anymore. So that whole thing that I had in my head just completely imploded.
This Potomac Yard thing is just nuts. Like, this is not, like you said, this is not the first time a press conference has been held. A graph of like what it's going to look like has been put out there, and then it just falls apart completely. Like, this area is very much an area that everybody wants, but nobody can get the Virginia government to agree on what to do with. So it is wild. I think Ted Leonsis and the Leonsis family are selling really hard to the fans of why this is a good idea. But it's wild that still, like, this whole project is years away from, if it ever were to happen, years away from actually coming to fruition. But like, even the city of DC is putting posts out there on X and saying like, no, you're in a contract with having the Capitals and the Wizards play in DC until X year. I think it was like 2035 or something like that. And Monumental's like, well, actually, if you look at the contract, so like, they're doing all of this in the public as well, which I think is very poor taste.
Yeah, it's super, super awkward, where you're just kind of like, I don't like how this looks. But I mean, it's very awkward. And I know I've listened to local sports talk radio, and like the Junkies and stuff have been talking about this a little bit, and how I think Mayor Bowser's big thing was like, I'm going to get the Commanders back into DC. And to an extent, she kind of ignored what Leonsis wanted to get. And I think if he'd gotten a little bit more attention his way, I think this never would have happened. And it sounded like one thing I was listening to, they were saying is like, it seemed like there was a possibility of a plan being made to not, I don't know if they're going to stay at Capital One or if they're going to build a new arena somewhere else or in that sort of same area or somewhere in the city. But there were some conversations about that, but it didn't get far enough. And then there was this plan with Virginia and Leonsis and Monumental were like, well, we're going to go with that because that's a better plan. And like on paper, I'm like, yeah, this looks awesome. First of all, can we back up real quick a step? No arena, no stadium, nothing ever looks like when you see those first pictures. Like, go back to when DC United's Audi Field was built. That thing looked awesome at first. And they're like, oh, it's going to cost that much? Never mind. When they built, Nats Park, they're like, it's going to be great. You're going to have views of the Capitol. Oh, it costs that much to build underground parking garages? Never mind. Out of left field, you're going to be able to see a parking garage. It's going to be great, guys. Like, no. It never looks like how you think it's going to look. But it still looked pretty awesome. I was like, this is going to be great. It's going to look cool. Here's the reality. It may not happen. Or some variation of it may happen, but it's not going to be what we thought. I still think there's a decent chance it happens in Virginia. They're going to have to fix some of the stuff. Monumental may have to put up more money at the beginning. I think it's going to screw over the taxpayers in Virginia no matter what happens, at least in the immediate future. So who knows what's to come of this. But I would love for this whole thing to implode and he has to stay in the city, whether that's a Capital One. I think the Caps and the Wizards and whatever, like, they're probably due for a new arena in terms of, because they've fallen behind in terms of comparisons to the other teams in their respective leagues. I think I can understand that Leonsis is not happy about the fact that, I don't know, the rent or whatever for the stadium in DC is higher than what his other owners are paying. And I don't think he loves a lot of the crime that's been happening in the area and how it sounds like the police department used to have, maybe it was like 10 to 20 police officers that would be down there during games, and it's dropped to like 5 or 3 or something like that. And so I can completely understand why he wants to make this deal. For Monumental, it makes a lot of sense. It just may not for anyone else. And that's where that's where it becomes a problem for a lot of fans. Like, take the whole screwing over the fans in Virginia, the screwing over the fans in DC and Maryland in terms of just the commute to get to games. The amount of money that's getting taken away from schools and from roads and infrastructure in Virginia and all the other things that are more important than building a stadium that in theory they don't actually need. That's a bigger deal right now. Like, I'm very much of the mind that these guys have decided they want to make enough money to buy a team. Build your own damn stadium. Build your own arena. No one else should be paying for this nonsense. So if it falls apart, yeah, it sucks. You know what? It's going to be even more awkward when he has to crawl back to DC and be like, so about the stadium at F3, we need to fix it up a little bit. You guys want to let's work with us on this? You want to give us some land over here so we can build our campus?
There's a reason why they're rich and we're not. And
especially if the Commanders have already kind of worked out
so
a deal
difficult
so they can
to
go
get
back
done.
To
I mean, he did build his own arena. It's the Washington Sports and Entertainment Center or whatever.
Oh, he's
it's called.
Got enough
I mean,
money, man, to build
I've
his own
been to shows
arena.
At that arena too. Like, DC has a lot of arenas, a lot of open area where you can play games. It's crazy. Anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
So we talked before, last thing, we talked before about when we thought Ovechkin was going to break the record. And then at one point, it looked really much like it might not happen.
Let me look. I think someone has a gold tracker.
I don't think he's 50. What was the number? He's away 57, 59, something like that away. 58. He's in high 50s. So my guess, obviously, it's not going to be this season. I don't think that was ever going to be the case. Highly unlikely it's next season. So at the beginning of the 25-26 season, I'd say is probably a fair estimate. I do like how there's been talk about he's going to retire. He said he's going to retire after his contract. If he's 5 or 10 away and his next and this contract is up, I have to imagine he's going to sign a 1-year deal to come back and break that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, how many games they got left? Where are they at?
57, so he'll be at 47.
So let's say he scores 10 more for 26 total in the season.
Yes.
He'll be, what'd you say? How many away? 56?
And he's come out and said away. That after his he's contract, he's not
highly unlikely he gets 47. He's done. He's retired. Let's say he's 30 he's next done season. After he's 17 away. Totally
I don't
do
think
it.
That's true.
The 25, 26.
If he doesn't beat the.
I mean,
I don't. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, that would be his last season. If 25, 26 is the last year of this contract. If he can do it that season, I would be shocked if he retired from the NHL. I don't think he's necessarily done playing hockey. I don't think he's Jagr where he's going to play until he's like 95. But I do think.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
If he breaks
he's,
it, I
he's
would not
play
be
for
shocked
Dynamo Moscow
if
at
he
least for a year
retired
or two
from the
after
NHL,
his NHL
after his
deal
contract
is done.
Is up.
100% he's going
to
do that.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes
now,
back to Russia
if
and plays
he
a year.
Is close to the Gretzky goal. And he doesn't do it at the end of his contract, I can see him signing like a 1-year deal with the Caps just to get 10 more goals or something like that. Like, there's zero doubt in my mind he is beating that record. But can he do it by the end of his contract? I think he can. But if he doesn't, I think he's not going anywhere until he beats that goal. He'll...
I agree. I think he signs a 1-year deal to break the record. So,
and
I
he was cooking against
year.
The Devils.
Probably
I mean,
not
we got
year,
Chicken McNuggets, and we got Papa John's off of
season,
the Ovi goals.
I mean, if he can get 12, you know, get to 30 goals on the year. So yeah, it's doable. Next season is doable. Highly unlikely. I'd say 10% chance. But a lot of that depends, obviously, on how the rest of the season goes. And he's gelling with Strome. And if that continues moving
Ovi
forward,
is a fun guy to watch. And I'm glad
he's got
he
a real
was
good
able to find his game
to
again.
Break it at the
and
of,
it's, been,
you know,
it's been a good time having Ovechkin back to being Ovi again. So this has been a lot of fun. I think we're done here talking about the Caps. We're going to leave Caps World and we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here is a quick word from some of our sponsors. Here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-0 with wins over Toronto and Belleville. They're currently first in the Atlantic Division and the entirety that is the AHL with 80 points, 15 up on second place Providence in the division, and 11 up on Milwaukee in the league, though the Bears have played 5 more games than the Milwaukee Admirals. So if Milwaukee wins their games in hand, the Bears are actually, this is again for the league, not the division, they're only 1 point up on them. So as great as the Bears are doing, sounds like the Milwaukee Admirals are also a very good team in the AHL. In other Bears news, defenseman Dylan McElrath was suspended for 2 games by the AHL on Tuesday. This is after Joe Snively was checked into the boards. McElrath fought Senators forward Brennan Saulner. McElrath was given a 5-minute major for fighting and an aggressor misconduct. So he's going to get to sit out for 2 games. Now, the Bears are about to drop the puck tonight in Lovell, where I believe I just saw that they are starting with Miroslav Chenko, Huntington, and Vecchione. As they're starting forwards, I don't know who these defensemen are. Chase Prisky and Massey. I could go to a Bears game. I don't recognize a lot of these names. And your boy Hunter Shepherd starting in goal. They then will be welcoming Wilkes-Barre Scranton Baby Pens on Friday at the Giant Center. They then host Rochester on Saturday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-1 with wins over Greenville, Florida, and Atlanta. The Rays are currently third in the South Division with 65 points, one back of second place Jacksonville, and five back of first place Greenville. Now, they'll be back at it close to us, actually, for back-to-back road games starting on Friday in Norfolk.
I am not going 4 hours down to Norfolk to go see the South Carolina Stingrays, as much as I would like to.
It's like three.
I'm not going that. That's crazy. But, you know, we were just talking about this. Today's game, which we're recording on Wednesday, was a 10:30 a.m. start for the South Carolina Stingrays because it was like Education Day. Could you imagine one of your school field trips being to a hockey game? Like, I have to think that's got to be the coolest field trip. But I also wonder if the teams are told, like, hey, watch the language and don't get in any fights.
When you're mad at that guy, just, you know, make an angry face. You know, and then, you talk about it. Okay, you tell him why you're upset and you apologize.
And then you shake hands.
And then when you play each other next, you know, punch or whatever. Or do whatever it is you got to do. In collegiate news, Caps 2023 first-round pick Ryan Leonard scored his first career NCAA hat trick this past Sunday in Boston College's 6-4 win over UMass. Now, with this hat trick, Leonard has scored 5 goals in 2 games, as well as extended his goal-scoring streak to 4 games, as well as his point streak to a season-high 13 games. He's tied for 4th in the entire NCAA at 21 goals on the season. The Caps may have found a very good player in last year's draft.
Can he just be a Capital now? Like, this guy is letting it up in the collegiate ranks. Like, if the team makes the playoffs, can he just come be a black ace or something for this team? Because dude is a gold medalist with the World Juniors. He's lighting it up in the NCAA. I mean, I have to imagine Boston College is making the Frozen Four. So that's what their March Madness tournament's called, right?
Well,
the Frozen Four.
I think I read earlier today they're like fourth in their division, maybe. I may have looked at the wrong thing. But his season, I think, before any of that, I think it ends in beginning of April, end of March, something like that. So I don't know the rules in terms of if he's allowed to come up. I'm sure if his season's over, I mean, I'm sure he has classes or something, but he, you know, skating with the Caps is not necessarily out of the question and it would be a good experience for him. I don't know what the rules are in terms of him potentially going to Hershey and playing for them, but you know, it seems like the Caps may have a very good player in the near future to join them, but that's what's going on down on the farm.
I'm going to look up if I can get a Ryan Leonard Boston College t-shirt. See what we can do here. Although, I do have a friend that works for BU, so I don't know if I'm allowed to wear those colors. But anyway, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays, and what's the Boston College? Is it an eagle? Are they eagles? I know BU is Terriers. I think they're eagles. They're eagles. Go Eagles, go Terriers. I'm still going to say it because BU's, you know, my other team. But anyway, that's it for Down on the Farm. We're going to go around the NHL and beyond. But before we do that, here's a quick word from some of our sponsors. We're going around the NHL and beyond. There's a lot to talk about. The NHL was very busy this past weekend. Coach Dan, before you get into any of your headlines, I have to ask you, did you watch any of the stadium series this past weekend?
No, I have 2 small children at home.
All right.
My TV is right. Taken up by Bluey and PJ Masks.
You should, well, that your kids should be watching PBS Kids is what they should be watching. It's fun and educational.
I did actually keep my son up later than he should have been last night watching the third period of the Caps Devils game.
Oh, there you go. Well, I mean, all right.
He at one point, he's like, "Who are we rooting for?" And I was like, "The Caps." And he's like, "No, I know, but like, which color are they?" Because he still gets the home and away thing, and like third jerseys completely confuses him because he's like, "Rooting for the red guys," and there's no one wearing red. And he's like, "What?" So then at one point I'm like, yeah, rooting for the guys in blue. And he goes, I'm rooting for those guys. And he points at the ref and I'm like, you're the only one, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. No one likes them. But I saw a little bit of the stadium series games and very fun as always, very entertaining. The Islanders game was, you know, came down to OT and crazy goals and that kind of stuff. But I saw on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, somebody had this idea that they should do the stadium series at MetLife Stadium every year and kind of have a beanpot tournament. You know, instead of doing like the All-Star game or whatever, you have the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, and I think it was the Flyers. They were also involved, I believe. Having those four teams kind of like doing some of their games against each other, but have it be sort of in a Boston beanpot esque format. And I was thinking about it and I'm like, you know, that's brilliant. Make this an every year thing. MetLife Stadium isn't being used. It's not used in January anyway for the two teams that play there for the NFL, but you know, do something like that. It's outdoor, it's fun. Doing a bean pot at the NHL level, that could be a blast, and it could, you know, that could be something to get people excited about hockey every single year, because you know what it's going to be like, rivalries, that kind of stuff. I love that idea.
See, I wonder if the NHL, like the complaints against Marvel right now, where they've oversaturated the market, has the NHL oversaturated the market on outdoor games, or it's just not a novelty? It's not as exciting anymore when you're like, well, I can watch one of like nine that are happening this year.
That is true. That is true. I understand where you're coming from there. Yeah, I can agree with that. But if you make it into like the beanpot and it's a spectacle each year, like Winter Classic and those are your outdoor games, I think I like that idea a lot.
I certainly think it's an interesting idea. I think the problem is that other teams are going to be like, what about us? So I don't know. It's interesting. I think they do need to kind of mix up this stadium series thing because they've definitely oversaturated the market just a little bit too much. Beginning into some NHL news, Detroit signed winger Michael Rasmussen to a 4-year, $12.8 million extension. Cap hit comes to 3.4. Vancouver's Nils Höglander was fined almost $3,000 for high-sticking Detroit's Jake Walman. And St. Louis's Jordan Binnington was fined $5,000 for high-sticking Nashville's Luke Evangelista. The NHL announced this past Saturday that the Columbus Blue Jackets will host the Detroit Red Wings in the 2025 Stadium Series at Ohio Stadium on March 1st, 2025. Ohio Stadium is currently the third largest on-campus college football stadium in the U.S. behind Michigan Stadium and Beaver Stadium at Penn State. This will be the Blue Jackets' first outdoor appearance and Detroit's fifth. I get it that the Red Wings are a well-known NHL team, but way to spread the wealth, NHL.
I'm just thinking, like, the Detroit Red Wings have played in some really big outdoor games in the past. To have them play at the Ohio State, that's going to be huge. I mean, again, like, third biggest stadium in the U.S., and they've already played in the biggest outdoor hockey game in the U.S. against Toronto a couple years ago. I mean, that's going to be a great game. And like you said, you know, we're getting tired of the outdoor games or whatever. This, again, will be another spectacle to see because that arena, that's going to be like 100,000 people.
I mean, it's going to be a big one. It's I still think baseball stadiums make more sense. All the seats are towards home plate, which is typically like the infield, which is where they usually are putting. Do I have that wrong? Do they put it like it when they're at Nats Park? Was the infield was where the rink was, right? Not the outfield.
I was not there, so I don't know.
I was there. I think it was the infield. Anyways, yeah. No, it'll be a cool game. But it would be nice to see other parts of the league get some opportunities to play, Columbus getting their first opportunity in 2025. The league also announced that the 2026 NHL All-Star Game will be at UBS Arena on Long Island, home of the Islanders, and it will be a quote-unquote launch party for the Winter Olympics in Italy. When do we get an All-Star Game in D.C.?
When we get a new arena, that's when.
So we won't get one in D.C., we'll get one in Northern Virginia. Awesome.
Yeah.
In PWHL news, the battle on Bay Street, which featured Toronto against Montreal, attracted a sold-out crowd of 19,285 to Scotiabank Arena and became the best-attended women's hockey game in history. And this is the fourth time the PWHL has set an attendance record in its inaugural season, and each game has involved Montreal, interestingly enough. That's the news from the past week in the NHL. Fund.
Well, Coach Dan, is that the show for this week?
I think that's it, man. I've been kind of tracking Twitter as I normally do during the show because they love to break stuff while we're recording or right after. I haven't seen anything too crazy, except it looks like we have a penalty shot coming up for the Bears. Mike Vecchione? He's got a penalty shot coming up. And as we're wrapping up, I'll let you know if he scores it. Even though as you're listening to this, you already know what's going to happen.
Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. You can follow us both over on X. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking about the Caps, talking Arsenal Football Club and a unfortunate loss to Porto in the first leg of their Champions League.
Oh, matchup. Come on.
What?
I'm so sad about Arsenal.
Shut up. Ah, he got stopped on the penalty shot. That's
no.
Bad. Yeah. Anyways, on there talking about other sports. The Bills, Commanders, very curious to see what's going to happen with the second pick in the draft. Commanders are going to trade up, which I hope they do not do. And because they have too many other holes to fill to be able to just give away draft picks. But that's fine to be on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you have enjoyed this show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthebookpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs. Go ahead and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/whatthebookpod. But Brandon, if someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a certain podcast they should follow?
Well, you can listen to my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. Whenever news likes to break, we will be there to cover it. We are currently in our off season at the moment, so I am completely focused on What the Puck. But make sure you subscribe to What the Puck and The Call wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, check us out. We are on Apple Music and we are on Spotify. Make sure you write us an Apple Podcast review. Make sure you rate us over on Spotify and then be social with the show. Let everybody know. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Four games until we talk again. A lot of hockey this week. On Thursday, February 22nd, the Capitals are up against the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa Bay. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one on ESPN. On Saturday, February 24th, the Capitals are up against the Florida Panthers. That game is at 6 o'clock. You can watch that one on Monumental Sports Network. And on Monday, February 26th, the Capitals are back home in D.C. up against the Ottawa Senators. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one locally on the Monumental Sports Network. And on Tuesday, February 27th, the Capitals go to Detroit to the Motor City up against the Red Wings. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one on Monumental Sports Network 2. So, Coach Dan, we got a back-to-back, 26th and 27th, Ottawa and the Red Wings. Which goalie are you playing for which game?
Well, I think we've seen that Lindgren's their number one, so it's going to be Kemper against at home against Ottawa and Lindgren on the road against Detroit.
I'm going to say Lindgren for both games.
So possibility. I'd be a little surprised because you want to get Kemper in there because you don't want him to be, you know, cold if there's, knock on wood, an injury situation. So I could see that happening as well.
Let's have Darcy play against the Florida Panthers.
No, man, you need that one badly. No, not Florida. I'm sorry. Tampa's the one you need really bad. I mean, but Tampa, if you can go over the next four games, if they can win three of those, they're in a good spot.
They're in a good spot. All right, well, that is it for what's going on in all around for What the Puck. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.